Well, can I add my welcome to Simon's? It's great to have you here with us this lunchtime and to hear you in such fine voice. Just to say, all you need there is on the sheet, as mentioned, and you might have noticed the passage that was read out by Jen is printed there for you, and we're going to look at that together for a few moments together. Well, is it true or is it false? Are these statements about Christmas, are they true or are they false? No, don't worry, I'm not going to ask you for a show of hands. There's going to be no peer pressure, no embarrassment. But answer just in your head. True or false? The first ever SMS text message was, Merry Christmas. A few nods. True. The text was sent by engineer Neil Packworth to Richard Jarvis on the 3rd of December, 1992. True or false? The modern image of Santa Claus in a red suit was created by Coca-Cola. False. Almost true. Coca-Cola popularized it in the 1920s and 30s, but they didn't come up with the idea. They didn't create it. Well, sometimes it is hard, isn't it, to tell if something is true or false. And I think the problem has reached such epidemic levels that Facebook and Google have had to step in and say that they will remove false stories from their website. It's said also that these false news actually influenced the election result in the States. And so we ask, did Donald really say that? Possibly, probably, maybe. Did Hillary really say that? I don't know, maybe. Can we even know what's true or what is false? And does it even matter? Does it matter if something is true or is it false? And what is true anyway? Well, for some things it really does matter, doesn't it? We know it matters whether something is true or false. It's why people are rightly upset when people try to change the facts. Holocaust deniers, for example. Or whether a president says something that is true or not. And it really matters when it comes to our lives, when it comes to real life. Relationships, work, life. Can I trust what he or she says? When he or she says, I love you, you've got the job, you've got the promotion. But what about the Christmas story? Can we even know whether that is true or false? Well, sometimes that seems hard, doesn't it, to separate out what is true from what is false. So you go to a nativity play, and it seems over the years that the cast list has changed dramatically. So there is Mary, and there is Joseph, and there is the baby there, and there are shepherds and wise men, and maybe a donkey. But according to 2,000 parents on Mumsnet, there's a lobster, well that's Love Actually, we know that already, a spaceman, aliens, punk fairies, footballers, and Elvis Presley. But it does matter, though, this question, doesn't it? Because it raises the issue, can we trust God? Can we trust Jesus with our lives? Now, I don't know. Maybe you're here and you'd call yourself a Christian, or maybe you wouldn't. Well, what do you make? What do we make of the Christmas story? Well, we're going to have a look at that passage in Luke chapter 2 together and consider that for a moment. And first of all, you can be certain about Christmas. You can be certain about Christmas. Luke is a medical doctor and he is a historian. And he tells us right at the start in chapter 1 of his account that he interviewed the eyewitnesses of Jesus' life. And he said that he wrote it down in an orderly way. And his aim wasn't to sell more books on Amazon. Here's why he did it. Here's what he said. That you may have certainty concerning the things that you have been taught. He wants us to have certainty, confidence. He wants us to trust what is written down as actual events in history, real history. So look at that first paragraph that was read out for us. Look down at that. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. We get real people in history. We get names. We get the Roman emperor. We get Caesar Augustus. We get Quirinius the governor. We get places on a map as we read on. Nazareth in Galilee, Judea, modern day Israel, Palestine. We get a family tree there is mentioned, the line of David, better than who do you think you are, related to the king. We get dates. He's mentioning a census. Now we know when the last census was in the UK. Well, it's like that. We can date it. And we get eyewitnesses, the shepherds. It's as if the camera pans and it moves from this house in town to out of town to the shepherds. It zooms in on them. They're, if you like, kind of, well, they're a bit like farmers, a cross between farmers and security guards for the sheep. They're used to keeping a close eye on things. They watch carefully and they do that as they go and they check out this story. They're given the postcode. It's pretty unique, this house. The baby's bed is very unique. It is a manger. It is an animal feeding trough. You won't find it in Mamas and Papas or in John Lewis. We are told that they went, they saw, and they told others. All this helps pinpoint a real birth of a real baby in history. He gives us the facts, and so therefore we can be certain about Christmas. I don't know about you. I don't know what you love at Christmas time. I love Christmas. I love the magic of Christmas. We're going to have some mulled wine and some mince pies later. I don't know what it is for you. But this is the true Christmas. It's not like Santa. I was speaking to someone the other day and I asked, have your four kids, have they written to Santa? And he said, yes, they have. And he's written back. I thought, oh, really? And apparently, for £5, the NSPCC will write a letter with a letterhead from the North Pole to your child, responding to their letter with all kinds of biographical details about your child, about how they've behaved that year and so on and so forth. But the real Christmas is not made up like that. And it's not like the Tooth Fairy either. I was speaking to someone last week and they said that their 8-year-old behaved almost like an adult, sat them down, sat mum and dad down and said, I know. The Tooth Fairy is not real. It's you. And then his tooth came out and he put it in a cup with two letters, one addressed to mum, one addressed to dad, with a little gift to each of them. The secret was out. Well, Christmas is not made up like that either. Yes, the real Christmas story is real. Much more real, in fact. Much more like our lives, the real lives that we live. So Mary and Joseph, they travel all the way to register in Bethlehem. It seems there was plenty of red tape then as well. It is the ancestral seat. It is where they are originally from, where the family hails from. And it is not great timing because Mary is close to the due date and then her waters break and she is not at home. It's much more real, perhaps, than the story that we grew up with. Much more gritty, perhaps. The word that is we often think of as inn is actually guest room, as it was there in our passage. So there's no innkeeper, there's no inn, there's no stable mentioned, there are no animals mentioned. Sadly, there is no lobster. And it feels very real, though. It is the case that they're looking there to stay somewhere. Her waters are broken. She's due to give birth. And there is no family guest room. It is in use. So it is not like a countryside kind of hotel in the Cotswolds. It's not like that. They end up in this house, in a communal living space. The family space, the living room, the sleeping room, everything was in one, with an area where the animals could be sheltered for the night. It's not exactly private. It is not exactly a private birthing suite in a birthing centre. It is pretty public. It is more messy. It is more like real life. And therefore, it is real. It is real history here. And so therefore, you can be certain about Christmas. Actually, I think that's a relief in what people are calling a post-fact world or a post-truth world. Post-truth has become one of the words of the year. In fact, the word of the year, which beat off the competition of Brexit and Glass Cliff. But the real Christmas, it gives us something concrete. And I think that's a relief. This is real life. Something that we could even build our lives upon. But that's not all. Because all of this makes this one baby the center of attention. And the question then for us is, what do we make of this baby? Secondly, you can be certain about the Christ of Christmas. You can be certain about the Christ of Christmas. What do you think about this baby? Well, here's what the shepherds thought. They were a tough bunch, and they were not easily scared. And yet they are properly scared by these messengers, this angel that comes and delivers this message that they feel they have to check out. And here is what they say. Look down with me at verse 10, little number, sentence 10 on the sheet. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." We're told who he is. It is God introducing himself. He is God. And he is described as Messiah, which otherwise is Christ. So Christ isn't Jesus' surname. It is his title. It means anointed king. Born in the king's city, David's city, the true king. And we're not just told what his title is. We're told, therefore, what his job is. And we're told that he is also a Saviour, a rescuer. Now, I know lots of you got important jobs, maybe creative jobs as well. But how many of you, as your job title, have Saviour? How many of you send out emails that say Saviour underneath your name with your telephone number and address? Not many, I suspect. But this baby is the Saviour, the Saviour of the world. Actually, I think this is a relief. If we look at our world leaders, there was a photo the other day in the papers, and it was an old photo, taken a little bit ago, and on it was Obama, Cameron, Hollande, Renzi, and Merkel. And in 2017, only one of those has still got a job. Caesar Octavian, called himself Augustus. Great. A god, even. Well, he's gone as well. And I'm not expecting Donald or Teresa to be any better, to last any longer. Because the thing we need saving from is bigger. It's so much bigger. What do we need saving from? What does Jesus Christ save, rescue from? Well, the unique bed that you can't buy in John Lewis, the manger, it gives us a clue. He humbles himself. He becomes the lowest of the low. God doesn't just step into our world. He becomes like us. He becomes a baby, flesh and blood, sweat and tears, and goes through what we go through in a feeding trough. Now, I doubt that Prince George had a feeding trough. I suspect he had the best suite that there is in St. Mary's Hospital. But look at this. This is the king. And the baby in a wooden feeding trough. Well, he goes lower still as he is nailed to a wooden cross years later. He steps into our world, in our messed up world, our broken world. And sometimes we feel that, don't we? But more than that, he steps into our place. At times we let him down, and we know that. We reject him. We mess up what the Bible and some of our carols that we've been singing call sin. We've lived as if he's not there. I've lived as if I'm the king, not him. And that is my post-truth that I often live by. That's how we are. But actually, this is good news of great joy. It is a huge relief. Because it means I don't need to pretend. I don't need to pretend that I'm better than I am. Often people think that the Christian message is be good. Try harder. You see, Santa, he only gives you a present if you're good. That's how the story goes. And if you're not good, what do you get? Well, the story goes, you get a lump of coal. In fact, the story I grew up with, I'm half Dutch, is that you get taken away in a sack which is a lot worse, isn't it? But here is how the song goes. Here is the Santa version of the carols. Oh, he's making a list and checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty or nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. Well, the carols we've been singing are completely different, because at the heart is Jesus, and they are much more realistic about what we're like. We don't need to pretend. We don't need to be more religious. We don't need to be better to be accepted. We don't need to clean ourselves up, morally speaking or spiritually. The shepherds, they weren't exactly up for a religious equivalent of the Ballon d'Or or the Oscars. Well, that was their situation, and it is ours as well. With Santa Claus, it is a business deal. The kind of stuff that you guys do all the time in the city. Be good, do your bit. Keep up your side of the bargain. Sign on the dotted line. And if you do that, I'll give you some stuff. But with Jesus, it is not like that. It is a gift. And he gives us not stuff, but his son. And I think that is hugely liberating. It means we can be certain, confident, trust in Jesus with our lives. Now, I'm conscious that maybe some of you might have questions about what I've just said. Well, if so, a great way of asking those questions is to do a course that we run called Christianity Explored, and you'll see details of that on the backside of your service sheet. Look at that later. We promise that we'll allow you to ask any question, and you'll have a chance to look at the evidence for Jesus for yourself in the Gospels. Well, I wonder, have you done your Christmas shopping yet? Well, apparently Danish things are in this year, and somebody told me last week that they bought a drone, which, knowing that person, didn't make me feel particularly safe. But I don't know whether you've bought your Christmas gifts yet. Well, maybe you're still after that gift, that one gift that says, I love you, for a family, for a friend. When someone says, I love you, and gives you a Christmas gift, that means something, doesn't it? When God says, I love you, and gives you the best, the biggest gift that there could ever be to people who have nothing to give back in return, himself. Well, that means the world, doesn't it? It means we can be certain. It means we can be certain of Christmas and of the Christ of Christmas. It means we can trust him. Happy Christmas. Thanks for listening.